Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. So there was no room for them to stay in the inn. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord, and this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased."
Dear friends, this is from 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 10. "Dear friends, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Whoever loves is a child of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And God showed his love for us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven."
Thank you, ladies. Okay, so the first one is the Christmas story as we know it. When we look at the Christmas story, we think of the shepherds in the field, the angels in the sky, we remember the star, and the three kings worshipping Jesus in a manger and presenting him with gifts. Christmas is a wonderful story, but it's so much more than a story. It's a true story. It's history. It's our story. The story of when love came down at Christmas in the person of Jesus Christ. Because of God's unconditional love for each of us, this is the real Christmas message. Christmas shows God's love as he came down in human form to be like us and save us from sin and death. In that village 2,000 years ago, we were given hope, peace, joy, and especially love. The second reading was 1 John 4, 7 to 10. From this, can we just keep that one up there, please? 1 John 4, 7 to 10, please, thanks. We want to look at this one more closely, because I want to share you three simple truths from this small passage. They are, love comes from God, love came down to earth, and love came down to the cross. First of all, let's look at love comes from God. Did you ever wonder where love came from? When you see love between a man and his wife, or a parent or a child, at Christmas time there seems to be an extra measure of love around us as people come to each other and give to each other gifts, especially to those in need, like here on Buttershaw. Most people agree love is the most beautiful thing in the world, but where does it all come from? The Bible gives us the answer. Love comes from God. So where does love come? Our second truth, in verse 9, God created us because he loves us and wants to have a relationship with him. But after God created us, we rebelled against him. The Bible says we've all sinned. And broke our relationship with God. But Jesus came to bridge that gap back to God from the time of Adam and Eve. But that did not stop God's love. Love began in heaven among the persons of the Trinity and came down to earth at Christmas. God sent his one and only Son into the world we may live through him. As it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." The miracle of Christmas is that the baby in the manger was God in human flesh. God became a man. The Son of God became the Son of Man. Jesus entered our world on Christmas Day. He left the glories of heaven and came to earth as a tiny baby. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son to give us life. And thirdly, love came down to the cross in verse 10. God loved us so much that he not only sent Jesus to the earth, he sent him to the cross at Calvary. Jesus traveled a great distance when he came down from heaven to earth, but he traveled an even greater distance when he went to the cross. I've seen the way of the cross in Israel, and it was like that. The hill that you stand at the bottom, you look up the hill, the steps where he walked with a cross on his back, and you think, wow, he got whipped the whole way up for you. Philippians 2, 6 to 8, Jason.
He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of all servants. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to the cross, to his death to the cross.
Thank you. Yeah, so that explains Jesus coming and going to the cross. You'll have to excuse me. My throat is beginning to hurt. I've had a really terrible cold this weekend. I've got some water. This was God's plan all along. It was part of the Christmas story. Jesus lived his entire life in the shadow of the cross. Love not only came down to earth at Christmas, love came to the cross to pay the price of our sins so that we might be saved. Even if you were the only one on the earth, Jesus would have still gone to that cross for you. All it took was one drop, one tiny drop of Christ's precious blood to pardon you. On this day when we're going to be doing communion, which I didn't really know about until I was going to speak about this, but my intention was to bring the Christmas story and the Easter story together, because you ain't got no Easter story without the Christmas story. So I'm just going to conclude with a few thoughts from today. Where does love come from? Love comes from God. How does God show his love among us? He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. What is love? Love is not that we love God, but that love that he sent his own and only Son for an amazing sacrifice for our sins. When love came down to the cross, I was looking through to find some sort of quote or something to describe all this, what I've said this morning. And I came across a quote from Corrie ten Boom. Now, those of you who know Corrie ten Boom, she was Jewish, and she was imprisoned in the Nazi concentration camp. I think it was Auschwitz. And she learned when she came out of there the heart of forgiveness. Because she, one of the German captors became a Christian after the war, and he approached her, and she learned the power of forgiveness. So that's explaining who she was. She forgave him. And I found this quote by her to describe Christmas, and I'm going to read it slowly because I want you to be able to just think about it. Who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is that he gave his only son. The only requirement is to believe in him. The reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life. Love came down at Christmas. Beautiful words. I just want you to just think about that before we go into communion today and just realize what Jesus did for you. The Christmas story, all about when he came as a baby into this world for you, for me. Now, I usually have Louise with me, and we usually work together on everything. It's just the way it is. In our ministry, we do everything together. And normally at this time, she'd be coming up and speak. We usually get our heads together and I say, right, this is what God says that he wants me to bring. And it were perfect today, for today, because everything seems to tie in to Christmas and the cross. We've sung a lot of worship songs about the cross. And Louise, she's not here. She's out seeing newborn babies all over Bradford this morning. But she wrote down some words, and I'm going to read these out. This is Louise, she wrote them out. And just think about what she's put. My prayer this week is that the church and Christmas will be redeemed. Whether that be from work pressures and parties, enforced fun, financial burdens, or loneliness and isolation. For years, I hated Christmas. It used to enhance the negative things about my life and family. I wanted it to be like Mary Poppins, skipping down the road holding hands. But in actual fact, it was probably the most depressing time of our family's years. If Louise was here, she'd probably share the story of what it was like as a child. She has with me, and it brought tears to my eyes because I came from a Christian family, and so I saw the other side of it. But her dad walked out on her on Christmas Day when she was 4 years old. And that always stuck in her mind. The pain of your dad. Well, I couldn't imagine walking out on my child on Christmas Day and the pain she had over Christmas. And she hated Christmases. And then she goes on and says, however, Christmas was redeemed. When you finally understand as a Christian the true meaning of Advent, that Jesus was born because of God's love and faithfulness, the other stuff, presents, parties, food, doesn't matter. I would work Christmas Day and have such joy in my heart seeing other families cherish their new additions. However, in my time since coming to Buttershaw, God has restored the family side of Christmas for me. And I do sometimes still feel that fuzzy grow in my heart. But my rock and salvation will always be the power of baby Jesus in a manger, the beauty of love coming down at Christmas. So may your Christmases be redeemed in Jesus' mighty name, Louise. And we're going to go into a time of response now. I just thought I'd bring them words to you. I've kept it brief this morning. I haven't gone on like I did a few weeks ago. Because I just wanted to keep it simple and my throat's not so good. So,
thank you, Gary. There's going to be a day when Jesus returns, and that's he came as a child. I remember when all my children were born. I remember having to force my hands underneath them to pick them up because I was so scared. You don't want to drop your child, particularly the first time you pick them up. But it's not just the fear that I had, It's recognizing that this newborn child is totally vulnerable. It's exposed. It's naked. And Jesus came as a vulnerable baby. When we come to the cross, when we come to recognize Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit comes to us and we come vulnerably before the cross. It's nothing that Jesus hasn't done. And yes, Christmas time is a time of vulnerability. But it's also a time of strength. Because if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable before the Lord and Savior, He will meet us. Can you imagine a little tiny baby's hand and all the power of the universe sat amongst that? Christmas is a time of simple truths, and I thank Gary for just sharing the simple truth of what Christmas is. That God so loved the world, He sent His only Son. So the word I'm feeling is vulnerability. Can we allow ourselves to be vulnerable this morning, particularly as we come to do communion? And I'm not asking you to necessarily be vulnerable towards each other. Be vulnerable towards God, because He's a safe place. You are His child. You are His adopted sons and daughters. His arms are always wide open. So as we come to the communion table, to remember how the cross and Christmas are tied in, let's lay our own personal vulnerability before Him and allow Him to meet us in that love that Gary spoke about.